Hello, Pittsburgh. I'm Zach Gibson, and this is TribLive's From the Newsroom, a podcast bringing you top stories from TribLive.com. Last week, the Hill District hosted the Freedom is at Stake, Get Out the Vote bus tour, making a stop at Freedom Corner. This event aimed to mobilize voters and emphasize the critical importance of participating in elections. With the support of organizers like Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity, the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh, and the Black Political Empowerment Project, the atmosphere was charged with energy and purpose. Shayla Brown is here to explore the significance of early voting, the role of community engagement, and the changing dynamics within the Black electorate in Allegheny County. Hi, Shayla.
Hi, good afternoon, Zach. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining me. So, introduce us to your story. Tell us a little bit about what we're going to see when we read it.
Yes, so my story is about the Get Out to Vote, Freedom is at Stake bus tour. They did make a stop in the Hill District, which is a predominantly Black neighborhood, and they were mobilizing voters to vote early and also getting them aware about just the act and civic engagement of voting.
Okay. Tell me about some of the organizations that you saw when you went to cover the story.
So there were multiple historically Black sororities and fraternities present at the event. It was organized in partnership with Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. And so a lot of the men from that brotherhood were represented there. And there was also BPEP, which is the Black Political Engagement Project. So you had members like Tim Stevens there at the event as well. And these are really community organizers who have been doing this work of civic engagement.
You covered this event in person. What kind of things did you experience? What was going on when you were there in the Hill District?
It was really a passionate event. There were so many people there, and it was like this air of empowerment because we were at Freedom Corner, and that's representative of so many civil rights activists. And you also had the large bus, you know, that goes to different cities and was sitting on the corner of the Hill District and at Freedom Corner. So people were very passionate, and there was just so much just expression of the need to move and to do something.
You need to get out and vote. My Black job is to vote. And that's your Black job too. And your white job. Okay, so let's get out there and vote, everybody.
Let's talk about Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh. It seems like this election, more so than in years prior, Pennsylvania is one of the most important, if not the most important state to win over for both of the candidates, with both Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump making multiple stops here almost every week. The tour's founder, Andrea Pringle, also sees this Pennsylvanian hotspot. She calls it Ground Zero. Tell me about your conversation with her.
Right. As you mentioned, Pittsburgh has really become a focal point. There is so many moments where we're kind of realizing that the election is decided by such a small number of people. And so what Andrea Pringle was emphasizing is that early voting is extremely important because it makes sure that the vote is counted and there are not other circumstances that are hindering or impeding that vote. She also emphasized that voting is something that equalizes everyone, despite their different identities, whether that be racial identity or class. Voting is something that if you know you have opportunity to and are able to, everyone should be able to do.
Okay. Now, you mentioned early voting, and that was something that was one of, if not the focal point of the event itself. Early voting has been plastered across billboards and screens of Pittsburgh for weeks, promoting the various ways to vote before Election Day. Can you tell me, explain in some detail why early voting is so important to both campaigns?
So according to what I reported on and some of those people that I spoke to, early voting really gives you the opportunity to not be inundated with the pressure that might come on Election Day. Also, it creates a more community-like atmosphere. So as I witnessed at the event, everyone was going down together. So people might have come out with their friends or their family, and they were going to vote together. Whereas on a typical election day, as some people mentioned at the event, you might not have the full day off, or you might not have that luxury of a free schedule to just go and vote, like say, hey, I'm going to vote with my sister, or, you know, it's a more relaxed atmosphere. Additionally, on that day, they were saying that you could take your mail-in ballot and just give it to the bureau person there and have your vote counted that way.
Okay, and we will talk more about the different ways to vote before Election Day a little bit down the line in this conversation. I wanted to look at some of the polls that I pulled from triblive.com throughout the election. We put out a lot of polls that were related to the election, just to give a voice to what some of our readers are feeling when it comes to this subject. One poll that stuck out to me that had just over 1,000 submissions or poll responses was, who do you believe has the best chance of winning Pennsylvania in this upcoming election? And now, out of 1,063 votes, 60% of those were for former President Donald Trump, with only 39% being for Harris. Another that really stuck out at this moment, now this poll was launched just over 2 weeks ago, on October 2nd. At this moment, who are you voting for in the presidential election? Once again, with more than 60, almost 61% being for Donald Trump and just under 40% for Harris. Now, when we look at this story and the location of Pittsburgh as a powerhouse for the election when it comes to swing votes, the Get Out the Vote campaign chose Freedom Corner as an intentional location to hold their event.
Freedom Corner is, you know, a tremendous part of the history of the city of Pittsburgh, not only the city of Pittsburgh, but Black history as a whole within this nation. You know, Pittsburgh, you can compare Pittsburgh to, you know, the Harlem Renaissance, you know, when you saw all the major jazz artists, you know, that came from New York, and, you know, the Cotton Clubs, and, you know, Chicago, and Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, it was a bustling place, the Hill District was.
Freedom Corner, just going off the name itself, sounds like the perfect place to host an election or voting campaign event. But Pittsburgh has a more historical significance for that location. Can you tell me about why it was such a good pick for the Get Out the Vote campaign?
Yes, absolutely. So the Hill District definitely has so many community activists and civil rights leaders in their own right. Freedom Corner was created to pay homage to national civil rights leaders like Martin Luther King Jr., as well as local civil rights leaders like Amos Speed Fox. And so Freedom Corner was essentially the perfect place to have this type of event, because so many civil rights leaders, their life's work was tirelessly fighting for Black people's right to vote.
Dr. King, who's been to Pittsburgh, and we talk about George Benson and Ahmad Jamal and Lena Horne and so many other jazz greats that have come through the city of Pittsburgh right here in the Hill District. When you think about, you know, Alma Speed Fox and so many other people who have had such an impact in the history of not only this nation, but the city of Pittsburgh, and it stemmed right here in the Hill District, Freedom Corner is the quintessential place for people of color to gather.
And just in general, when you think about the proximity from a Freedom Corner to the Election Bureau, it was within walking distance. So much of the civil rights movements and Black power movements have included walking, or this, you know, natural movement, walking, marching to get to the other side and to galvanize and mobilize for change. And so I think, you know, even in this metaphorical way, it just walking towards change, walking toward freedom, and walking toward, you know, what matters to us. And so I think that's an important context to find the Black community in, is that we're often, you know, changing, evolving. You know, even in the past, you look at ways that are still connected to the future of where we're going.
So it was more than fitting for this type of nonpartisan bus tour to meet right here at Freedom Corner to help mobilize marginalized people.
Bringing that into the context of today, there's still so many civil rights movements that are taking place specifically in the Hill District when it comes to redevelopment and when it comes to just having their voices heard to what they want to see in their neighborhood.
Now, during this event, you met Judge Kevin Cooper. Tell me about your conversation with him and his involvement in the event.
Yes, so he was very passionate about getting people to vote. This event was bipartisan, so they were not pushing any particular candidate. It was just about utilizing your civic engagement as a citizen to go out and vote. But he was passionate. He asked everyone in the crowd, you know, who is familiar with early voting, and also who was wanting to go in the caravan and go down as a group to go vote, because that's what they were, you know, that's the opportunity they were providing. And so when he saw limited people raise their hand, he was like, oh no, we have to start over. Like, who is coming with me to go down and vote?
In the next 10 minutes to vote, raise your hand. Ready, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All the alpha's hands ought to be up. All of them. Every alpha and AKA and Sigma in the house. Let me ask you, say, put your hand down. Just 1 second, I'm getting mad. Who in here has already voted? All right. Other than those people who've already voted, everybody else should get their hands up. We're going to make a caravan right over on the other side of the street. We'll go down, we'll vote, we'll come back up here. The truck will still be up here. You'll be able to get something to eat.
It turned out that a lot of people in the crowd had already mailed in their ballot or had voted already, so that was good. But he was just reminding people that, you know, this is our duty to vote. Like, this is, you know, our duty, a privilege, an honor, a right. You know, he emphasized that as a community there, we could not, and when I say we, he was referencing mostly the Black community, that as the Black community, it was not acceptable for Black people to not go out and vote, because so many civil rights leaders, so many people that are involved in this movement died so that there was the right to vote. What was interesting was, like, there was also this food portion where there was a food truck outside. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times you have these community things like restaurants, like Fannie Lou Hamer, who was organizing voting within her soul food restaurant, or like churches who were getting people out to vote that way. So it's always been a community thing, and he definitely drove that home.
Okay. Now, another thing that you pointed out that I wanted to mention is that another significant benefit of having that event at Freedom Corner was its proximity to the Allegheny County Election Bureau. It's just a few blocks down, and as you said, they were caravanning and providing transportation for voters who had not yet cast their votes.
We're going to caravan down for those who want to vote, and we're going to put our ballots in. For those of you, this is just simple. Some of you all brought your mail-in ballot, which you already filled it out, is ready to go, because I know I've talked to you, all right? So I know some of y'all already got it. So those of you who do not have them, it's this simple. Tim, you correct me if I'm wrong. It's this simple. You go to the election bureau, you ask for an absentee ballot, you've mail-in ballot, you fill it out, you vote for who you're going to vote for, and you give it back to them, and you vote.
Judge Cooper said that, standing among the names of great civil rights leaders, we cannot have their work be in vain. With this theme of voter engagement and mobilization, many people had that common goal of wanting to engage voters. Some had different methods of doing so. Can you tell me about Austin and Frida and their respective goals when going out to energize and galvanize voters?
Austin, he is a community planner and works with a lot of community organizations. And so he'd worked on different campaigns in the past and was just saying that he is really even utilizes his time outside of work to help galvanize and mobilize voters. And what he was noticing, just that a lot of times people can become desensitized to the need to vote, because there are so many messages being pushed out, especially at this time, like, you need to vote, you need to vote. And sometimes people can't see the benefit of why they're voting or how their vote actually matters. But what he said and what many others at this event said was that voting is your voice. That is your power. And so he was really just emphasizing, like when people let the election pass them by, they will then later see the result of what them not voting had on the community and the society that they're living in, you know, prior to that election. So rather than, you know, regret having that regret, just go out and make your vote count. So that was something that he said. And just again, I remember at the event, Tim Stevens from BPEP, he made a comment that the election is decided by a lot of times a smaller amount of people than were in that crowd that day. So your vote does matter, because even if it's just one, it can tip the scale. Frida, she is part of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, and she is part of the 501c4, where the Zetas are bringing awareness and education surrounding voting, and also ways to educate communities of color about their need to vote. And
one thing that I noted while reading your story was Frida emphasized that her goal was giving people the knowledge to make the choice rather than just getting people to go out and make a choice.
Voting is important to me because if we don't vote, what else do we have? It is our voice. And just like the t-shirt says, there are many people who don't want to see us at the ballot. We're voting on issues critical to us, our communities, and it matters. And people like me died for the right to vote in this country, and that's why I'm voting.
What you said about, from Austin Jefferson's point on voters not really seeing the point or the effect that their vote has, this is something that a lot of campaigns are really trying to change or combat. In your experience as a reporter this election season, what do we know about the break from traditional voting patterns within the Black electorate?
I wrote a story on the Black male vote, and when I interviewed a lot of the people within that story, a lot of them were skeptical about some of the policies of Vice President Kamala Harris. And they were moving toward more so Trump because he was courting them, and they felt like they were being seen through some of his campaign or some of his messaging. And I think in general, from what I've heard, that a lot of Black males in particular feel like they are invisible when it comes to different elections and their concerns are not being heard. However, recently, Kamala Harris did come out with some, you know, policies specifically addressing Black males. But, you know, based on the people I interviewed, there are some other hindrances that are around just basic needs that are not met that can sometimes make voting feel like an extra thing. So something that's not at the top of the priority list because more so they're worried about, you know, securing employment or securing housing. And in particular, one young man whose story that I learned about was he was just looking for a place to live and, you know, getting a job. So voting is a secondary conversation because there are certain basic needs that still need to be met before you can even think outside of that.
Now, taking a look at the numbers, in Allegheny County, majority Black precincts voted at a slightly lower rate for President Joe Biden in 2020 than for Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton in 2016. Also, we have reports from the Philadelphia Inquirer that say that this month, a similar trend was happening on the other end of the state, as Democrats' most solid base, Black voters, are starting to move right and to support Republicans. Polling has shown that this phenomenon is strongest, like you said, in the Black community, particularly with Black men. Now, This was something that we saw addressed directly last week when former President Barack Obama visited on behalf of the Harris campaign on Thursday, where Obama spoke to a group of about 40 supporters in a serious tone about the dip in enthusiasm in the Black community.
Is that we have not yet seen the same kinds of energy and turnout in all quarters of our neighborhoods and communities as we saw when I was running. Now, I also want to say that that seems to be more pronounced with the brothers. So if you don't mind, just for a second, I'm going to speak to y'all directly and say that when you have a choice that is this clear, when on the one hand you have somebody who grew up like you, knows you, went to college with you, understands the struggles and pain and joy that comes from those experiences.
He said that people must encourage their friends and family to vote, especially those that are less engaged. He went as far as to say that even that engagement may not be enough. Obama said that the stakes are far too high for the Black community to not come through. There was also a USA Today article by Suzette Hackney, who referenced a Pittsburgher, Louis Berry. He is a 65-year-old who no longer votes in presidential elections. He says that he's tired of Democrats assuming Black people will vote for them just based on history. Now, to your point, in reading that article, seeing that theme of not seeing the point in making a choice in presidential elections was very present. Barry says, quote, "I'm not doing identity politics anymore. I am a strong, independent Black man. I think freely. I am sending a message to the Dems. Stop taking us for granted. I'm not the only one who feels this way. We Black men talk about this all the time," end quote. So, as we wrap up, I'm going to ask you, from your experience talking to communities in Pittsburgh, what does it seem like it will take for candidates to win over the Steel City's Black voters in the coming weeks?
I think it's important to address that there is, you know, definitely a large amount of political apathy. And even within, you know, my stories, I've gathered some statistics specifically from W. Mondale Robinson, the founder of the Black Male Voter Project, that 19,000 Black men are eligible to vote, but they're not registered. And so I think that there's a lot of people still trying to find where they fit in this civic engagement and this type of democratic right. Mm. What I've heard when I've spoken to people is that instead of candidates, you know, going back and forth and talking about each other or, you know, saying what one person does or what one other person does, what people have expressed and what the Black community has expressed is that it's important to talk to them directly. Like, what are you going to do for the Black community? How are you going to create a more equitable society? How are we, the Black community, going to have more access to jobs that will allow them to survive and thrive, allow them to support their families, better education, more equitable education where everyone can have an education where they are learning in a way that is profiting them. Also, just looking at the ways that, you know, the Black community is not a monolith. So there are so many different layers of concerns. One of the people that I did speak to, he mentioned that he was voting for the independent candidate because that candidate was the only person that aligned with his values and where he sees his future. Just seeming like you are going to, you know, kind of be down with the Black community is not enough. And a lot of people are looking for more at this point, because time and time again, they felt like they've put a candidate in office and their needs and concerns have still not been addressed. So I think it's going to really take action and serious integrity from a candidate to get behind and really champion the Black community in a way that will allow the Black community to see a future forward.
Okay. Shayla Brown, thank you for joining me to talk about the different ways for candidates to reach the Black electorate.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining. If you enjoyed this week's episode, share the podcast to help keep Western PA locally informed with insightful discussion and the latest news from your area. It's an easy way to spread the word, and it helps our podcast reach more people like you. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify and turn on episode notifications so you never miss new content. Once again, I'm Zach Gibson, and this is From the Newsroom.